Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
The team call a dignity, and I insist on answering my ability. Ricky, just cool, yeah? She are the whole lady, can do it like I sister Nancy. Tommy say, who she are the whole lady, can do it like I sister Nancy. Tommy say, I know any man can do it like me. Who I know any man can do it like me. Them off we come from the Jerry family. Tommy say, I sit her house on the class, sit her class. And I your sister Nancy and the teacher for the class.
But tell me, I'm the only woman. And you want me the first in 1 year,
yeah. We are free, we are free.
It's our moment to stand up. You better get your story straight now. Go tell your people to speak up. It's time to wake up right now. Forget what you think you know.
If I'm free, then define we. We've been in the struggle since before I could speak. Now I preach, preach, with the Angelique. Connecting through the generation, power and physique on your shoulder. Pull me until I got older. Everyone deserve a little chance to be bolder. See her, hear her, she only get it freer. We fighting for our freedom and it's only getting nearer. One chance for the world to understand. Freedom and equality, word of motherland. One shot, one goal, one hope. Open up your mind and forget what you know. So,
Jessica Lizache, make all the cool walk through while
the road's paved and it's power to the people. The word said all want all equal. Next wave, next gen, next sequel. Africa, the motherland, rise.
Let's move on up. We have to share our story now. They tell us it's dangerous. They don't control our mind now. Forget all the lies you're told. No man put a price on your soul, on your soul.
Sometimes I'm a mad dog. Sometimes I'm a mad dog. happy birthday to MIA, July 18th. There's Paper Planes on She Rose Radio. Also, happy birthday to the icon Angelique Kidjo, who just turned 63 on July 14th. There was Sampa the Great on Free and Equal from Angelique's last album, Mother Nature. Be sure to check out our recent She Rose interview at sheroseradio.com/episodes. And with that, I welcome you to She Rose Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you as always. And together, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, our featured interview is with Madison McFerrin, who recently released her full-length debut, I Hope You Can Forgive Me. Now, something new from Alicia Bognano, a.k.a. Bully. Last month, she unleashed her fourth album, Lucky For You. And for the first time, she's got a feature on the album, Soccer Mommy, who joins her on this one, It's Lose You.
We'll be right back.
Belly sounding just awesome back to back there on Shiro's, wishing Tanya Donnelly a belated happy birthday. Hers was on Friday, July 14th. I'm Carmel Holt, and next we welcome Madison McFerrin as this week's featured guest. Stay with me.
This is what listener-powered radio sounds like. The SoCal Sound.
Support for the SoCal Sound and the Latin Alt HD3 comes from Levitt Pavilion, Los Angeles, presenting their 16th annual summer concert series. On Saturday, July 22nd, Levitt National Tour presents La Santa Cecilia, and on Sunday, July 23rd, a day of traditional folkloric music, Centro Cultural de Champit presents Festival de Música Salvadoreña at the Levitt Pavilion in MacArthur Park. Picnic on the lawn with family and friends. All ages are welcome. No tickets are required to attend. More info can be found at levittlosangeles.org. La Santa Cecilia and Festival de Música Salvadoreña. Levitt Pavilion at MacArthur Park, Saturday, July 22nd and Sunday, July 23rd.
Support comes from Abramarama, presenting the new documentary, Have You Got It Yet?, about Pink Floyd's founding member, Syd Barrett, with interviews of all members of Pink Floyd, Pete Townsend, and others. The film's U.S. release, with a Q&A hosted by me, Andy Chandler, is showing at Limley Santa Monica July 21st and Limley North Hollywood on July 22nd. More information available at sidbarrettfilm.com.
Have you ever thought about volunteering but did not know where to start? If so, please visit VolunteerNetworkOC.org, then download the Volunteer Network OC app, available on Google Play or the App Store. With the app, you can register, search for, and select a volunteer event. With one click, you'll be signed up to volunteer. It's volunteering made easy. Please visit VolunteerNetworkOC.org.
It's the sound!
Sounds like Orange County, Los Angeles, Ventura County, San Diego. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. So if you've been following along for a while, you've probably heard some of my guests talk about imposter syndrome, especially when it comes to taking the reins in the recording studio. What we'll learn today is that even when you grow up knowing that music is in your DNA and is a possible career path for you, and your innate talent and passion gets you into one of the best music schools in the country, that still doesn't necessarily spare you from struggles with self-confidence or escaping the challenges of navigating music's male-dominated spaces and industry. Madison McFerrin was born in 1992, the daughter of Grammy-winning vocalist and songwriter Bobby McFerrin and granddaughter of Robert McFerrin Sr., the first Black man to sing at the Metropolitan Opera. A graduate of Berklee College of Music, this singer, songwriter, and producer first put out a pair of independently released a cappella-based EPs called Finding Foundations Volume 1 in 2016, Volume 2 in 2018, and then began to flesh out her sound on the 2019 EP, You and I, a collaboration with her brother, musician and producer Taylor McFerrin. In today's conversation, we'll hear how Madison McFerrin overcame her own imposter syndrome, took the production reins, and made her most fully realized album to date, I Hope You Can Forgive Me. I'm thrilled to welcome Madison McFerrin as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Madison McFerrin, welcome to Shiro's. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
This feels like a very big moment, your full-length debut
it
album.
It is.
Right? I Hope You Can Forgive Me is the name of the new album. Tell us all the feels.
All of the feels. I've obviously released music before this, but you only get one shot at your debut album. And the fact that I produced 70% of it, I'm, you know, just opening myself up for a lot of hurt. I guess, but I think that's part of being an artist at the end of the day.
Right, of course. Well, you have nothing to worry about because It's so good. It sounds great.
Thank you.
It really does. And since we just went right there in your liner notes, you write, before COVID, I would not have considered myself a producer. Now, I've produced 70% of my debut album, Imposter Syndrome. Who? Why do you think that you had imposter syndrome around production?
Well, it's not just imposter syndrome around being a producer. It's imposter syndrome about being an artist. I had really convinced myself that production wasn't something that I could do. I took some classes that were mandatory in college. I did not connect with it, but I had these ideas in my head, and I can play a few things. Like, I'm decent on the piano. I can pluck out things on a bass and a guitar, kind of. I took drums when I was like 9. So I, you know, have a solid sense of time and whatnot. And I would have these ideas, but I just thought like, oh, I just can't get them out of me. Somebody else has to do that. And, you know, there's nothing like being forced to stay home with pretty much yourself. It was just me and my fiance. I was supposed to be on the road for the majority of 2020, and obviously that didn't happen. And I still needed to get out my creativity. And I had this software. I had the tools to be able to do it. I had just convinced myself that I didn't have the time. And so then all of a sudden I had the time. And I started making some music that I was really into. And I thought, okay, this isn't just me making something and I'm trying to convince myself that it sounds fine. It's like, I'm sharing this with people and people actually also think that it's good. I think it's good. And it really helped me let go of these preconceived notions that I wasn't ABC when in reality I'm all of the things and I have permission to be all of the things.
When you were in college, Berkeley, by the way, were you outnumbered in those classes? Was there anyone you could mirror yourself in that might have, if you could have redone it, given you a little bit more confidence?
Totally. I think that had I had it in my mind that I wanted to be a producer, there were definitely people that I could have tapped into, but they didn't make that known in the same kind of way. I mean, Berkeley is 75% male. It's like a very male-dominated space. And if you're a woman, it's presumed you're a vocalist. And the men get to do all of the other things. And so I was like, okay, that's not where I'm supposed to be. Even if that wasn't something that I was consciously thinking, just being in that environment feeds you that message. There was at no point that I was like, I can't do that explicitly. It was just like, oh, all of this information is being fed to me that my place is here. Right. And, you know, that's so much bigger than just an institution like Berkeley. That's the world. I'm listening to what's happening there as well as what's happening in media and all of the things that I've been seeing since I was a little girl, you know? So yeah. I definitely felt like, oh, my place is as a singer. That's where I'm supposed to stay. I know that I hear stuff in my head, but when I first started out, I was just hearing vocal stuff in my head, which is where like the acapella stuff came out. And so it really took that step of me being like, oh, I can get this out and it not just be my voice. My voice is a part of it, but how can I use my voice to help me find these other things too within the context of being a producer? And it's been a really awesome adventure, I must say, like letting go of all of that. Misogyny sucks. I'm like still shedding so much of it, but it runs deep.
I feel like it's all of the subtle, subliminal stuff that gets you. And it's so sneaky because we can't really point a finger at it. We can't address it. And then you absorb it. And then everything becomes supporting evidence to whatever, you know. So congratulations for coming this far. And I'm sure it's just going to get better and better as the world gives you that feedback. This is an amazing album. And I just would love to start with that first moment that you were like, this is good.
So chronologically speaking, the beat for the songs Testify and Run, they came first. And Stay Away From Me was actually the first full song that I wrote on the album. And that was also the first like full song that I had written with my production, with my instrumentation. It definitely was a moment of like me being able to open up to the idea that I could produce my debut album.
Here I am, back again, underrated and afraid. I done came all this way for nothing. Bittersweet memories got me dealing in my feelings. I admit a bit too much, a bit too much. Been dealing in my feelings a bit too much. So when I
Stay Away From Me, in parentheses, from the full-length debut album by Madison McFerrin. She's our guest today on She Rose Radio. It's so cool because you have all of this experience behind you and you've been doing this your whole life. Simultaneously, this is a first for you too. Talk to us about where you and music met up and what got you thinking, I want to start making music myself.
So I decided I wanted to be a singer when I was 5. I saw that it was possible as a career. And, you know, people ask me, they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's like, I liked singing. Clearly, that was something you could do when you grew up. So I was like, all right, let's go. And I sang throughout school and it always brought me a lot of joy. And then obviously decided to go to Berkeley, which was its own thing. But I knew that I wanted to make music for myself. Really in college, you know, I was really trying to figure it out. I wasn't sure how I wanted to make music, what it sounded like. And then I wrote a song because a guy broke my heart and I couldn't play what I heard. And so I sang it. So I made this a cappella song and then I gave it to my friends and they were like, oh, we could all play this together. And then that was the sparking of my college band, Cosmodrome. And so we were writing songs together and I was writing a lot of the stuff and it just became this thing where I was like, oh, okay, like I do really have this energy inside me that can come out and create a sonic world of sorts. And I always had a bug in my ear about like I wanted to be a solo artist, but I was too afraid to listen to it, even though that's how I envisioned myself. It took the moment of me being totally trolled on the internet and people telling me that I couldn't sing. I had a bad day and it happened to be televised nationally. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. Because it was that moment that pushed me to be like, you know what? I am going to do this. I can sing. And no matter what all of you people on the internet are saying, including Snoop Dogg, which that's the opening to the Try video, is like him trolling me. It's like, you know what? I don't care. I've been working on this my whole life. And this is not the point in my story where I give up. This is the point in my story where I push through. And so I fortified a much thicker skin and went for it. And here we are.
Wow. So inspiring, really. Many people would have done the opposite.
Many people would have done the opposite. And I'm incredibly grateful for the people in my life who have helped fortify me and also my inner guiding light that just told me like, hey, you've been working at this for too long to have it be brought down by some trolls on the internet who have nothing better to do with their time. Also, part of my dream is to be more widely known. And unfortunately, with how things are structured nowadays, trolling's going to happen. Trolls are going to troll, you know? So better that I learn this lesson now at the front end instead of get into it too deep and then be a puddle when I can't handle the fact that people with nothing better to do with their days are saying hurtful things because they are hurt inside. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not the one that's hurting people by singing songs, you know? So just got to go with the flow, man.
It seems like you've taken that to another level, too, in terms of merging music and activism and helping to create safe space for others. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you've started up or been involved with?
It all started before the pandemic. I was hosting a series called the Ciceretta Series, which was named after Madam Ciceretta Jones, who was an opera singer in the late 19th, early 20th century. And she was the highest paid Black performer in her day. She sang for four consecutive presidents. It wasn't until the fourth one that she was allowed to walk through the front door. She was the first African-American to sing at Carnegie Hall. And she used her success to create a vaudeville show that other Black people could perform in so that they wouldn't have to subject themselves to minstrelsy in order to perform their craft. Because none of the opera houses would sign her, but she was an incredible vocalist. And so she was like, I'm going to make a vaudeville show so I can sing opera. And then all of these other people can perform art with dignity and the way that they want to be able to perform. But unfortunately, she died penniless. Her mom got sick and she got swindled out of the rights to her stuff. And she died without a headstone. And she had been like this incredible performer. So I created this series called the Ciceretta Series that was highlighting women of color artists. And we had a residency at Come On Everybody in Brooklyn, which is still one of my favorite places, and then also worked with WNYC for a follow-up series. And, you know, it's so important to just uplift your community where you can and when you can, especially nowadays. I love that we're at least in this moment in time where people are really talking about Black art and women making Black art in a space of actually being able to uplift one another and owning our artistry. And we're having these really important conversations. And so I think part of my role as an artist is to uplift other artists, just like other artists have uplifted me. So that was the first step. And then we collaborated with Brooklyn Conservancy to create these series of events over the past summer, 2022. It was really a space for folks to just kind of let go. You know, we'd been and continue to be in the pandemic. We went through this traumatic experience as a collective, like trauma on a global scale. And yeah. I think it's going to be a long time before we really all are able to deal with that, for one. But I wanted to create a space where we could just let go. Last summer was finally the time in New York where, like, you could really be outside safely. And so I wanted to have something that brought back childlike joy for adults. Because I used to be a nanny, and you see how little kids get joy in the smallest things. I'm always trying to do things where we can let go, because I can be pretty uptight with my feelings and shielded and guarded. And sometimes I forget to just release and like let the positive energy come in. I spend way too much of my imagination on negative things, things that could go wrong, all of this stuff. And it's like, sometimes you just gotta let go and let the good stuff come in. So if I can be a conduit to other people having that experience, I'm totally down for that.
Madison McFerrin here with us on She Rose. Her full-length debut album is I Hope You Can Forgive Me. Has any song come to mind at this moment in the conversation?
I think we should play God Herself. This is one of my favorite songs I've ever written. And I only was able to write it because I turned down some label deals. I'm pretty sure that had I taken any of them, this song wouldn't have happened. And so I'm grateful that I trusted myself, because it's one of my favorite songs. I was trying to write a bad song. I was like feeling down, and I was like, I need to feel good about myself. You know, I need to like write something that's about owning my divine feminine power. I want to be a bad. I am a bad. Let me write a song about it, right? And I had this beat that I'd made, but nothing was sticking. I couldn't get a melody to stick. And so one day when I was just not feeling any inspiration, I sat down at the piano and I listened to a voice note that I had made like a couple weeks prior of a piano chord progression. I liked it. And I was like, let me just put it into Ableton as an acapella thing. Let me like lay down the harmonies. And then 48 hours later, that whole song was made. It's one of the few songs I've written where literally every single piece of what I heard in my head came out. That ending part that goes between the God herself, you gonna see me, that whole thing. I heard that while I was in the car leaving Whole Foods. And I like immediately had to figure out how to get that out of me because I was like, this is how this song ends. And I need to figure it out. And I remember the first time I laid it down, it wasn't right. And I was like, no. Gotta go back. And so I did it. And man, I love this song so much. It features additional background vocals by Melissa McMillan and Jonathan Horde, who are two of New York's best singers.
That's God Herself, written by Madison McFerrin. I Hope You Can Forgive Me is the name of her full length. And I'm Carmel Holt on Shiro's. One of the things that came to me as you were talking about this other side of your musical life where you're helping to curate things and organize spaces, and in doing so also honor some lineage and uplift and amplify your community. I think about this a lot because I've had some women not want to come on the show because they don't want to be boxed in. Mm-hmm. How many times can we answer the question, what's it like to be a woman in music? And then for you, it's probably like, as a woman of color, what is it like to blah, blah, blah? And it's just like, can we stop doing this now?
Right, totally.
I was curious about your own experience because you've carved out these spaces. Did you have any of those thoughts or feelings or any of that stuff kind of hit you in a certain way when I say it now?
It's interesting. This has all been such an evolution and growth in my understanding of myself. I have two older brothers, and I love them dearly, but they are 6.5 and 10.5 years older than me. So uh-huh. I grew up with the serious big bro energy protector, which they continue to do a great job of being that force in my life. I was also fed the cool girl narrative of like, oh, cool girls hang out with guys and don't hang out with girls, and they're not dramatic and they don't talk about their feelings or their emotions. Cool girls do X, Y, Z. I was fed a lot of that, not to say by my brothers, just like by the world in general. But I'm also getting an idea of what's cool to my big brothers, you know, and I'm just a little sister trying to impress them. And there's all this energy of like, to be cool to a guy, you must essentially reject your womanhood and the things that make you powerful as a woman. And so for the longest, it was just like, didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I have my two best girlfriends who we were all in the same kindergarten class together. I have a best girlfriend from like middle school who is still in there. Then it kind of dwindles, you know. I have a very small group of core women in my life, and then it was like all dudes. And then I finally came face to face with what that was and what that meant, and opened myself up to being surrounded by more women and intentionally seeking that out, because all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, I'm feeling some self-hatred that is coming from all of this misogyny. And I've had this notion that I shouldn't trust women because women are dramatic, and it's messed up my head. And like now I crave being around women. That's how I get my soul fed more often than not. these days when it comes to like finding community.
Yeah.
And so I'm more eager to be in these spaces with other women because I feel like I denied myself of that so much in my youth because of the fact that I was like, I'm a cool girl. I'm a tomboy. I play sports. I'm not going to say what I think or need or feel, even though you're hurting me. You know? So now I'm just like, let's go, ladies, because boys suck.
Oh my God, I love it. Of course, I'm also thinking like, how f***ed up is it that, yes, we basically are told we have to reject everything about womanhood to be a cool girl, be more male. But if you want the boys to like you, then you gotta also hypersexualize yourself at the same time.
Yep.
So, and then if you decide to be a musician or be in music, all of that ends up shaping our path. How do we navigate there?
Yeah, it's wild. And the funny thing about it as well is with this project, I wanted to really embrace my womanhood and my body and my sexuality. And I didn't want to like shy away from that anymore. And so I started exposing myself more so in that regard because I'm only going to look this good for so long, so might as well go with it, right? But there were so many people who had a reaction of like, oh, do you feel like you have to do this to get attention? You don't have to. Like, you can stay covered up, or like, you don't have to put on this imagery for us or whatever. And I was like, this isn't for y'all. I'm like, I'm doing this because I look good. It's not about, oh, I need attention for my body. It's like, no, like, I've been rejecting this for XYZ reasons, and now I'm not. And I happen to be a public figure, so you guys are a part of that journey too. And I want to look nice. I want to look back and be like, you look good, girl. Good for you.
Man, so complicated.
So complicated.
So complicated.
And it doesn't have to be this complicated.
Madison McFerrin here with us on Shiro's. The full-length debut album is called I Hope You Can Forgive Me. I'm having the best time talking to you. I feel that I could talk to you all day, but all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
But before we go, I want to do a little practice with you that I've been doing at the end of each one of these interviews.
It's
called the Shiro's Magic Wand. And with the magic wand, you have the power to change anything in music for women and non-binary people. What would you change?
No pressure. Really easy question.
What's the first thing that comes to you?
I think I would change the manipulation that happens in the industry, more so to women and non-binary people, which has to do with the patriarchy that we were talking about before. But women and non-binary people, we get taken advantage of in really serious ways. And thankfully, with things like the Me Too movement, more of that has come to light. But there are a lot of men who have used their power for bad and not for good. And because we also haven't been given power in the industry, which that if I were to have a second one, it would also, I think this also kind of includes power. There are not a lot of women behind the scenes, you know, it's mostly men behind the scenes. It's mostly men in positions of power, mostly men who have ownership of the catalogs, mostly men who are the producers. There aren't enough women on the other side that are able to fight back against these things. And so a lot of times, particularly younger women, they meet somebody and this person's like, oh, I can make your dreams come true. You just have to do X, Y, Z for me. And it's an unsafe environment for a lot of people. And I would definitely love for that to change. I would love for that to change. And I think it is changing. I do think because we're having more conversations about it, because of the fact that there are more women in power or that are taking positions of power, I have hope that that will change.
Gatekeeping is huge. The power structure is huge. Like, that all needs to change. Just so you know, you're in good company. This is one of the most common magic wand wishes that happens on this show.
I would imagine.
Luckily, you are also paving the way, taking the production reins too. Like, who knows? Maybe one day you're going to start producing for others. We need more producers.
That's the plan. I would really like to do that. I have that title attached to my name, I don't want to gatekeep it to myself, you know?
Madison McFerrin, thank you so much for being with us. Pick a song, if you would, to take us out today.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's really amazing to talk with you about a project that means so much to me. So thank you so much for having me on the show. To take it out, let's go with a song that's very special to me. There's a lot of deep history behind it. And it's also with the only feature on the entire album. Features none other than my pops. So let's end it out on Run.
Thanks once again to Madison McFerrin. Thank you for being with us on She Rose.
Thank you again.
Many thanks once again to Madison McFerrin for being with us. Her full-length debut album, I Hope You Can Forgive Me, is out now. Next, we close the hour with a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Kari Hedlund of KAXE Northern Community Radio, when She Rose Radio continues.
Independent Public Radio. 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Here's the late, great Bette Davis.
She spit a snuff and boogie tram on track. Spit on. They say I'm different cause I eat shit, man. So I can't help it. I was born and raised on a fast rider every morning. Past to slot the hogs and maybe getting off humping the jolly hooker. Moonshine, the baby king and Jimmy Lee rock on that. That's why they say I'm different. And that's why they say I'm strange. I'm talking about Big Mama Pop.
Talk about it, talk about it.
I'm talking about Lightning Hopkins.
Talk about it, talk about it.
I'm talking about
talk about it.
the legendary funk and soul musician Bette Davis, who passed away just a little over a year ago. And this year, her self-titled debut album is marking its 50th anniversary. The archival label Light in the Attic is celebrating with a new series of Bette Davis reissues. So that's something to check out. And if you're not familiar with her work, dive in. It's Carmel Holt. It is Shiro's Radio. And each week, I love to close the hour by turning the mic and the music over to a fellow Radio Shiro from one of our affiliates. And this week, it's Kari Headland of Northern Community Radio in Northern Minnesota.
Thanks, Carmel. Recently, I've been digging back into listening to albums in their entirety over and over again. No skips allowed. The playlist culture does a real disservice to these artists who put so much time and energy into these bodies of works. Not to mention, you find new favorites with every listen. Emily King's latest album, Special Occasion, has been on repeat for me for a solid couple of months. If you lived in my town, you'd see me on my bike, moving and grooving with Emily's music. And the title track is one that makes me feel it every time. This is Special Occasion by Emily King.
Emily King, and special occasion, a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Kari Hedlund of Minnesota's Northern Community Radio, KAXE. Thanks to you for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. For more on Shiro's Radio, check out shirosradio.com. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast featuring our Shiro's interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network. You can find that anywhere you get your podcasts. Keep in touch. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio on Instagram and Twitter. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.